That music means it's time for another edition of Message in the Bottle here on Downtown. Of course, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, located 86 Hammond Street in Bangor, between Brahma Grill and Fiddlehead Restaurant, and Crossroads Beverage Company, located at 66 Main Street in Newport, right behind Rite Aid, just off the Moosehead Trail, as we talked about the connoisseur of all things wine, the genius
right.
in terms of the fermented grapes.
It's Eric Meehan. I believe you suggested I knew basically more than anyone else in the world.
If you say it enough times, I'm pretty sure it becomes truth.
Absolutely. That's what I tell everybody who comes in and, yeah. and you know, looks at me like I know what I'm talking about. I say, you say anything in a firm baritone, people will mm-hmm. be like, yeah, yeah,
well,
yeah.
And if anything else, too, you just show the article that was produced about you just a week or so ago.
The article, I know. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, that was pretty cool. Down East did a little feature on me, since I'm going to be reprising my operatic heyday on stage on April 24th, by the way, in case Ooh. Just shameless plug, but with the Bangor Symphony Orchestra. Very few tickets left. What their final Masterworks concert. They're doing the famous opera La Boheme. It's the celebration of the 120th anniversary of both the orchestra and the premiere of La Boheme. And somehow I got myself wrapped up and agreed to do one of the principal parts, and I think I won't muck it up too badly, so I encourage everybody to come on out. And the rest of the cast these are like working professionals, you know, the folks that I used to sing with all the time, sort of thing, who live and breathe this stuff. So I'm very excited about that.
But the question is, do any of them know anything about wine?
They might like to drink it.
Other than that.
No, you know what? Though this is all true, though. I only got into wine really because I went especially over to Italy to sing. And I really started to get it. This was back in the time when I was about 40 pounds heavier. I ended up in the hospital when I was about 25. Just feeling like I was being, you know, knifed in the gut. And they said, honestly, there's nothing wrong with you except your diet. Your diet is terrible. You're drinking, you know, 6 Pepsis a day and eating, you know, all this fast food to, you know, kind of quell your system. And
welcome to my world.
Yeah, but it's you know, I couldn't – for my body, it couldn't take it. I was doing that since, you know, I mean, I went to high school and boarding school, so I was eating junk food, you know, in a regular way since, you know, age 14. But I went over to Italy and I noticed like all these people were beautiful and they ate really well, like the sort of food that I like to eat.
Yeah.
And they were all thin and beautiful and they walked a lot, and they also had wine on their tables like we have salt and pepper, like it was just it was part of their diet, and nothing fancy, just their local whatever it was. And I started to say, what's the difference? What's the thing that's going on here? And they were buying fresh foods every day.
Right.
And they were drinking this local wine, and it really started to change my thought process. So that's how I kind of ended up where I am here. So that said, I wouldn't be surprised if some of these folks, having sung in some of these, especially in Europe where the aesthetic is a little bit different, but it's starting to change here, may know quite a bit about wine. I don't think they'll own any beverage stores like I've gotten myself into. But
they better
not.
Well,
no, I mean, I think it's really cool. You know, I always joked about, again, in that firm baritone, like, why did I get into this? Because I could say the names of, like, all these French and Italian appellations like I knew what I was talking about, right? Because I had the right inflection. But, I mean, no, that's really where I started to get into it. Which leads conveniently into today's topic.
Perfect.
No, it doesn't at all.
Well, you segued anyway.
But what the heck? I'm the king of the awkward segue. So we are finishing up this month's Message in the Bottle. We're talking about closures, right? And so our last closure method, and I'm really excited to drink this wine because it's totally like a favorite of mine, has been for years, is the Zork. The Zork is this amazing recent creation out of Australia, which I have not been to. I never got a chance to go sing in Australia, much to my dismay, because I hear it's absolutely fantastic. So this this closure is really, really cool, and I wish I could show it all to you in Radio Land. But essentially, imagine a pig's tail curling really, really tightly around a fake cork, because it sort of is that. And you uncurl the pig's tail, which is holding it to the bottle, and you end up with this really cool, reclosable plastic cork. And I think it's just really brilliant, and it's really brilliant not only because of its usefulness and its ease of use, but also because of its personality. And the reason I bring up its personality is because the wine we're going to be tasting today, this is Lise Fitch Cabernet Sauvignon. Lise Fitch is a brand owned by the Sebastiani and Sons Corporation. Sebastiani and Sons, to me, being a family business guy, is really, really cool. They are a pretty big fish, despite the fact that they pretend they're not. But still, they're a small, family-owned, relatively young company that's made big, big waves in the California wine industry. And one of the reasons they've made big, big waves is because they've really embraced sort of the fact that they're new. You know, you get a lot of wine producers out there that are like, we're going to put a label on this that makes it look like we've been around since, you know, 1687, and we're going to use real cork, you know, and pay the extra money and risk to make it look like we're a real authentic. Not these guys. They're not into that. They're into absolute quality, and also embracing their newness, embracing the fact that facilities these days are able to turn out really, really excellent wines because of, you know, new innovations. They're into things like the Zork, and they say, listen, we immediately embrace this because it's user-friendly and it makes our product stand out, and it really does. So these guys are not only responsible for Lise Fitch, they're also responsible for Pepperwood Grove, which you may see in some of the bigger chains, but they're still a very small company. And so, yeah, they've really embraced that because of the newness, because of the convenience, because we're not, again, you know, just to sum up, you know, everything we've been talking about, that trichloroanisole, the TCA that can ruin wines that exist in cork. There's no risk of that. And like I said, it's resealable. And a lot of people don't drink one bottle in a sitting. They go back to it the next day, the next couple days. This makes it super simple. I mean, it's super user friendly. Again, if you could see me, how would you put it? It's like the top of like a port bottle or something like that, except it's plastic. It's very, very easy to hang to handle.
Pretty good styling, too.
Pretty good styling. Yeah. Now, I also wanted to talk a little bit about something else, and we'll talk about this eventually in the future, but as we taste this wine, so this is from California. Lise Fitch is named for the, there's an old mission adobe that's in Sonoma, which is where this company is based, and it's called the Lise Fitch adobe, and so that's what this is named for, and this is sort of quintessentially California wines. A lot of people really embrace wines from the West Coast, but they always want a specific appellation. They want a Napa wine, or they want a Sonoma wine, or they Monterey or whatever. This is a California appellation, which means that Lise Fitch basically goes to very, very good vineyards, the swath, you know, up and down California, which gives you a tremendous, tremendous variety of climates, microclimates, sure. And if it ripens here, it doesn't ripen here, blah, blah, blah. So they can every year really attain a very consistent product. The other way they can attain a consistent product, and this is sort of the fun tagline for this, and again, we'll explore this at a future tasting, is that this is not 100% Cabernet Sauvignon. Hmm. Very, very few things that we drink, especially in the more wallet-friendly arena, are 100% anything. Well, is that legal? It's absolutely legal. In the U.S., to put a given varietal on your label, you only have to have 75% of that variety in the bottle. So this is pretty cool. As we taste this, and again, we're swirling. We're enjoying it. This is a very, very nice, you know, dark-hued wine.
It smells delicious, too.
It's a really easy-to-enjoy wine. It's, you know, just a touch oak. Mm. Very smooth. So what's in this Cabernet Sauvignon that we're drinking? Well, 81% Cabernet Sauvignon.
Right.
9% Merlot. 4% Grenache from mainly the southern coast of France and Spain. That's where you see Grenache, but you're starting to see it in California. 2% Tempranillo, classic Spanish grape that we've had some of in the Toros and stuff. 2% Barbera, classic northern Italian grape. 2% Alicante Bousquet, which is not really typical anywhere, but sort of from France and one of the interesting grapes in the world because its flesh is red, unlike most grapes, and the juice is red, which means it extracts a lot of rich color. So this is a real mutt, but it's Cabernet Sauvignon.
Is that the plan out of the gate, that they decide that they're going to do 2%, 1%, or is it the way things shake out?
That's the way things shake out, usually, yeah. I mean, they have a plan, and it usually morphs as the wine develops. I mean, these guys, there's a... there's an art to creating 150 bottles of something really exquisite and, you know, from this micro vineyard. But there's another art, and as a fan of, you know, alcohol in general,
yeah, won't get that on other radio shows. Yeah.
Exactly, right? But no, I mean, as you know, people all the time, oh, what's your favorite thing? Oh, you only like wine. No, like, I like everything except Jaeger, and again, there's a story for that.
Yeah, amen to that.
Yeah. But I, anything that's done well, I really appreciate in context, out of context, you know, it's my job. So there's all sorts of examples in the alcohol industry where you have to create a consistency. That's the skill, right? You've got these Scotch master blenders who year in and year out create Chivas. Do you know how hard that's got to be? And again, to create a, you know, a really consistent everyday Cabernet Sauvignon that tastes basically the same sort of style, not wildly different. And, you know, champagne, very, very, very similar. You're trying to create a house style. It's insanely impossible. So that, to me, has got to be one of the most difficult jobs in the world, because I can tell you if something smells good.
Right.
And, yeah, that smells great. Fabulous. Yeah, we'll sell 150. But to say that that smells like it smelled 5 years ago, smelled 12 years ago, and...
Well, as a chef, what's harder, following a recipe or just going in and free-forming?
I got to think, you know? Absolutely. Absolutely. So... that's sort of the end of my spiel for this segment and for this month, but I would, if I have a little time.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. I didn't
take as much time as you want to.
Okay. I hate to. But I do want to mention that there's a couple of exciting things at the at Bangor Wine and Cheese today. We got one of my all-time favorite toys. It's called the Wine Well. So we were considering buying all these coolers and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, wait a minute. There's this thing I used to work with at my old store. It's called a Wine Well. It is a really, really cool thing that was invented in the 1970s. It's a water bath that sits right above freezing. You put any bottle in there, it's cold within seconds. We call it chill out while you check out. Wow. So the world's your oyster.
I'm looking at it right here. It's a, what, a micro chiller, basically?
It's really cool. So it's a bucket, and then the bucket below it. And the bucket below it has one of these crash coils in it, like you'd find in a home brewing system. And it basically pumps water from that, you know, a chilled bucket up to the top bucket, and then it just filters back down again. You put the bottle in the top bucket, it just swirls it around just above freezing, and God bless physics.
That's
really
amazing.
Fast. It's freezing cold.
That's amazing. As a dude that has exploded many a beer in his freezer.
Well, and that's the point, right? And there's all the time people like, oh, you have a cooler. That's cool. I wish you had this colder. Hey, it's my anniversary.
Right.
Do you have a bottle of Dom cold? Well, no, normally we don't, but hey. Now we do.
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
That's awesome.
Now, I'm looking here at the description, and the word of advice, is this coming from experience?
Don't put your hand in it.
Yeah, don't be a hero.
You know the funniest thing, though, I swear, as soon as we got it in and I started going, and my manager, who just got back from hiking the Grand Canyon, her thighs are, like, screaming because of, like, you know, 10 hours up and down. She's like, can I just stick my... I'm like, you can stick whatever you want in it, but I promise you after 20 seconds, you're going to be screaming for help.
Yeah, you're not liable.
It works. It's amazing.
Yeah, if you go rooting around too far, you'll find Ted Williams down there.
Well, you might. You might. Just the head.
Yeah, I was going to say, just the head. The body's gone now.
Yeah, it's gone now.
Oh, this looks great.
That's very cool.
And
then also, of course, April, big, big month for me personally, and then the tasting. So we're going to do the tasting in Bangor on the second week, which will be the 13th. And then the 15th for Crossroads Beverage. And then the following week, I'll be busy in rehearsals for Boheme. And please, everybody, buy your tickets. Yeah. April 24th, La Boheme with the Bangor Symphony.
And next month, new topic.
We're doing cooking. Cooking with wine, beer, cider, and mead. A different topic each week. And then at our tastings, we'll have at least two examples of what we're doing, and it'll be awesome.
Yeah, we talked about this many times, but this is one of my favorite segments all week. We look forward to it. The work week starts up on Monday. We're a little like, it's Monday again, but we're like, Eric's right around the corner with another message, bottle segment, and some great wine as always.
And now you guys are doing 3 hours.
Yeah,
that's
starting
big,
next Tuesday,
big
7 days
time,
away.
So, yeah, this will help.
Absolutely.
You're going to have another hour and a half.
Right towards the tail end of Tuesday's show.
We'll just blame the wine. That's what fattened us up.
Perfect.
Well, Eric, thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
All righty. Be well.
Message in the Bottle, of course, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, located at 86 Hammond Street in Bangor between the Brahma Grill and Fiddlehead Restaurant, and Crossroads Beverage Company, located at 66 Main Street in Newport, right behind Rite Aid, just off the Moosehead Trail. And, of course, if you missed any of this segment, you can always relive it at downtownwithrichkimble.com. And check out the Meehan Beverage Company website at
There's BangorWine.com, there's CrossroadsBeverage.com, there's MeAndFamilyBeverage.com, and also, don't forget to pick up April's Down East magazine.
Wow, he's making it rain.
That's perfect. The spontastic there, right there. Well, we're going to take a quick break. Dennis Price will be back with us on the other side, giving us a little report on the Capitol art scene and the good, bad, and ugly downtown calendar. So much more as downtown rolls on here on this Tuesday afternoon on The Pulse. AM 620, WZON.